That's big time.
Minus 15.
Respect all, fear none.
Oh, did he belt that one?
Intensity is not a perfume.
It was a no doubter.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We are up in the bird's nest here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. I'm Brent Mortensen alongside Matt Bonaparte coming at you an hour early. It's amazing. I mean, the case of the sleepies that I've got right now, just doing this podcast 1 hour earlier, really threw off my Wednesday routine here.
If you... Yes, it. Me too. Sorry, I just have a thought
I know. We're both a little sleepy.
I was just going to say, if you were... big listener of the podcast, you know, last week that we were talking about the difference of the location of these mics. We had a whole week to change it. We didn't change it, and I'm still having to look around it to look at you.
Was that your first thought?
That was my first thought when I looked at you. It was like, wow, we didn't change it, did we?
I've got microphone right here.
It's right here.
Yeah, we got
it. Usually like over here.
Yeah, but no. We started the show saying the microphones are further back last week, and then we didn't change them at all. You're right. No. But we did have a case of the goofs this morning, talking about, I think this is a good conversation of potentially the best names of childhood TV shows. You brought up a good one with Zaboomafoo. I was trying to think.
A classic.
Through the beginning of the intro, I was like, think of a funny TV show name from your child. I couldn't do it.
Well,
I was
Zaboomafoo,
thinking of like Cyber Chase.
No, Cyber Chase is just an all-time classic.
Great show.
You know, you got great shows, Dragon
Tales. Hit like Zaboomafoo.
Yeah, I mean, Zaboomafoo is the funniest of the names. I don't really think it has a competitor,
right?
To be honest. But, you know, it's a classic.
Do you think they were just sitting in a board meeting and somebody, like, raised their hand and was like, what about Zaboomafoo?
Well, I think it's the name of the lemur.
Huh?
Yeah, you know, the lemur in Zaboomafoo, I think that's his name.
Why'd they name the lemur Zaboomafoo?
I don't know if they named it. Maybe they got it named. I'm going to look it up. You do your own thing. Hold on.
What do you mean they didn't name it?
I said you do your thing.
The lemur didn't get named Zaboomafoo in nature.
Hold on, man.
I think there was a certain point at which somebody had to name that lemur Zaboomafoo.
Hold on.
We are going to talk about the Orioles, but this feels really important. If you have any other names of funny childhood shows that you can think of that even compete with Zaboomafoo, please let us know, because Zaboomafoo feels like it takes the cake. And I've said that word a lot.
His name was Zaboomafoo.
So the lemur's name was Zaboomafoo.
Yeah.
But you're making a claim that that was always the lemur's name before anybody interjected.
Yeah, I'm thinking that they...
Like in nature, that lemur's name was Zaboomafoo.
Zaboomafoo passed away, by the way, recently, which is pretty sad.
No. We didn't need to start the show like that.
Yeah, sorry about that. He passed away in 2014. He's a 20-year-old lemur. It's an old lemur.
I don't know if that's old for a lemur.
That's got to be. I mean,
it
I
has
know.
To be, right?
I mean... 20-year-old lemur? I don't think you thought lemurs lived that long.
No, and I also
you did
didn't
not think that's what you were getting on this podcast.
This
that's
show
all I'm saying.
About
you didn't think
lemur.
You didn't think that.
But if you do have any other good TV show names from your childhood, please let us know. Otherwise, Zaboomafoo will take the cake there.
Well, hold on. I'm getting.
Oh boy,
I'm getting new information that his name was not Zaboomafoo.
Whoa.
Wait, maybe it was. There might have been two lemurs. All right, we'll come back on this later.
We've got to circle back to this. We will let you know a week from today what we find out about Zaboomafoo. Yeah. We do have Orioles baseball to talk about. They dropped last night's game to the Nationals. Couldn't really get the bats going. Trevor Williams has decided to have a career start to his season in 2024. He's got a sub-2 ERA after being one of the most ineffective pitchers in baseball in 2023.
But that's why baseball is great. Because you could be a guy with a 5.5 ERA and then come in and be like, I'm Sandy Koufax now.
That's why baseball is incredibly weird. Orioles weren't too happy with the strike zone last night either. Saw Ryan O'Hearn and Brandon Hyde get ejected in the ninth inning of last night's game.
I always wanted to toss somebody.
They did.
I really have.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'd do it, but I've always wanted to.
Yeah, we were talking to Jeff Arnold about his days of umpiring. We should have asked him how many guys he's tossed.
Yeah, we should have.
Oh, would have been a good question. But anyway... We're going to talk Orioles pitching today because it has been spectacular. Even in last night's loss, the Orioles allowed 3 earned runs, which was the most earned runs they allowed in a 7-game stretch. They went 7 straight games allowing 2 earned runs or fewer as a pitching staff. First time that had happened since 1980 for the Orioles. 3-game sweep of the Reds over the weekend. Orioles starters threw 19 1/3 innings. They allowed 6 hits and no runs. No earned runs for Orioles starters over the weekend, and O's pitchers as a whole gave up just 2 total earned runs on 11 hits and struck out 26 against Cincinnati. It's not an awesome Cincinnati Reds lineup,
pretty
but that is a domination
of
the Cincinnati Reds.
I mean, that's pretty spectacular, the numbers that this pitching staff put up. And you mentioned since April 28th against Oakland, they hadn't given up more than 2 runs in a game.
Yeah.
You know, if you know anything about me, I don't love math, but I did math for this podcast to find out what the team ERA was.
That's dedication.
In that time, a 1.14 in that time up until last night.
Yeah.
So that's pretty spectacular stuff from the O's pitching staff. And you're getting it from guys that you didn't really necessarily expect to get it from. You know, Cole Irvin's been ridiculous. Dean Kramer with an incredible start against Cincinnati. 6 innings, 1 hit, no earned, 6 Ks. Pretty ridiculous stuff from Dean.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, guys are coming off the IL, going on to it. Grayson hits the IL. Wells on the IL. Bradish and Means come off, and they're, you know, pick up where they left off.
Yeah.
That is pretty pretty major, I'd say.
Yeah, so let's break it down a little bit further. Right now, you've got 4 starters who have made at least 7 starts, which is, you know, it feels like it should be 5. If we're talking about one of the best rotations in baseball, it feels like it should be, here are the 5 guys who have started throughout the season. We have maybe had 1 injury here or there, but we have consistently had a bunch of guys be healthy and be ready to go. Right now, you've only got 4 starters who have made at least 7 starts. The highest ERA among them belongs to Grayson Rodriguez with a 3.71. You mentioned the 2 guys coming off the injured list. John Means goes 7 scoreless innings with 8 strikeouts in his first start back, which was pretty spectacular, given some of the conversations that we were having about John Means while he was going through his rehab assignment. Up until his last rehab start in AAA Norfolk, there were some real question marks about John Means, how he was getting ramped up. He was getting hit pretty hard in AAA before that last outing. The velocity wasn't really where you wanted it to be. And then he just kind of showed you, hey, I'm a veteran. I know how to ramp things up when I need to ramp it up. And then he is lights out in his last start of his rehab assignment in AAA and lights out in his first start back in the majors.
Yeah, I mean, that start was, it was diabolical what he was doing to that lineup.
Sure.
He's a guy who I think gets a lot of question marks from the media, from the fans, and, you know, he's had a hard time staying healthy over the last couple of years, so it's hard to have confidence in him when coming back from a rehab start. But he showed you in that start why you should always believe in him, because, yeah, sometimes it's hard for him to stay healthy, but when he's on the mound, he's a dog.
Yeah.
He was absolutely fantastic in that start. And, you know, he doesn't do it with overpowering stuff. He's throwing around 90 miles an hour. He's got a great curveball, and he just knows how to get guys out, like you said, and that's what the veterans of the game know how to do. And he showed you that he's still that guy who can go out there and get the job done and compete with a team that just won 100 games and with one that doesn't really have the time to be working on a guy. So he showed up, and he shoved, and he did exactly what this team needed him to do, which I'm not sure. I mean, I think he exceeded pretty much everybody's expectations
day.
I mean, I didn't expect him to do that. He was fantastic.
No, first start back, I mean, you couldn't have written a better script for John Means to have a better start in his first outing of the season. Kyle Bradish didn't put up the same kind of numbers as Means. He goes 4 2/3 innings, but only allows 1 run against a really good Yankees lineup.
Yeah. I mean, the Yankees are one of the fiercest lineups in baseball.
Right.
To go out there, you know, having not pitched all year and hold them to 1, like, that's pretty tremendous. So you've got 2 guys, and obviously they're different situations. Bradish coming off a breakout season, Means already an established, effective big leaguer. But they both come back, and they add to this rotation, you know, pretty much what was the best-case scenario, right? I mean, you were thinking in the offseason when you heard this news, like, all right, you hope to get these guys back, and you hope that they get ramped up and they get back to the place that they need to be to help this team compete. They exceed expectations. They go out there, and they do everything you hoped and more. How great is that? I mean, that makes this rotation pretty much all the fantasy of the fans who were thinking, you know, when these guys are healthy, they could be the best rotation in baseball, and they have been.
Yeah, absolutely, and we're going to talk about where this fully healthy rotation ranks in baseball in just a little bit. John Means and Kyle Bradish have provided great numbers thus far, but let's talk about the guys that have been here consistently and been here healthy, putting up these fantastic numbers, because right now the team ERA for the Orioles is sixth best in all of baseball. Their starting pitching ERA is fifth best in all of baseball. And reason number one for that, Corbin Burnes, who I think has been the biggest reason for the success of this Orioles pitching staff. The team ERA right now is at a 3.31, which is sixth best in the majors. The starting pitching ERA is a 3.18, which is fifth best in the majors. Excuse me, a 3.21 now, which is fifth best in the majors. Corbin Burnes is a big reason for why. Eight starts so far in the year. He's got a 2.83 ERA, a whip below 1,000, nine strikeouts per nine. He has yet to allow more than three earned runs in a start. He's got two outings with three earned runs, three outings with two earned runs, and three starts with one earned run. So every single time that Corbin Burnes has been on the mound, he is giving you a chance to win the baseball game. And I'm not shocked by these numbers from Corbin Burnes. This is the caliber of pitcher that you were expected to get when you were giving up two great prospects in Joey Ortiz and DL Hall. This is somebody who won a Cy Young a couple of seasons ago, but to see it every fifth day is just spectacular.
This is what an ace does.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that there's something in, you know, the ace raising the expectation of the pitching staff and setting the tone. You know, he hasn't blown up at all. He's gone out there every single day, every single start, and given the O's a chance to win. He hasn't given up more than three earned runs in a start. He's been absolutely fantastic. And I think that it has made an impact on the rest of the rotation. You know, like, when you are competing with the team and you've got a guy like Corbin Burnes pitching at the front of the rotation, the other pitchers in that rotation know that if he's going to be going out there every fifth day and giving it everything he has, you've got to do the same thing. And I think that the expectation has risen for everybody else in that rotation, and I think it's made a huge impact on everybody. He's been absolutely fantastic in everything you could possibly want in an ace.
Yeah, we're not privy to every single conversation that happens in the clubhouse and things like that, but you would have to imagine that Corbin Burnes, he's not an older guy, but he's a veteran pitcher. He's been around for a little while. You would have to imagine that pitchers like Grayson Rodriguez, especially Dean Kramer, you know, younger pitchers in this rotation have to be picking Corbin Burnes' brain about his routine, how he prepares for a start every fifth day, how he just goes about his business in general, how to compete in a start when, you know, all of his stuff isn't working exactly the way that he wants it to. It's hard to quantify and see on the field just the kind of impact that these pitchers having conversations with Corbin Burnes is having, but you have to imagine that that is making some sort of impact. We've seen it in other places in the Orioles clubhouse. I mean, you have to think that Craig Kimbrell is probably doing a similar thing for the Orioles bullpen, talking to guys like Jacob Webb, who has had a lot of success this season. Pick the brain of, you know, a potential future Hall of Famer and Craig Kimbrell that's going to do great things for this Orioles team. And I think Corbin Burnes probably has the same impact on some of these younger starting pitchers like Grayson and like Dean Kramer.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's absolutely true. And, you know, the other thing is a lot of these guys are pretty new to the major leagues, you know. You know, last year you had Kyle Gibson, who was kind of the dad of the group. I remember during the champagne celebrations, he was the only guy really, you know, he's in the background, just on the FaceTime with his family and whatnot. He wasn't really, you know, in the shopping cart like Heston Kerstad.
Aaron Hicks did a similar thing.
Yeah.
Somebody with playoff experience, a veteran that I'm sure helped a lot with the mentality of that ball club going into the playoffs.
Yeah, and so this rotation, one, I mean, aside from John Means, who's been in the league for quite a while, it's filled of guys who don't have, you know, 10 years of MLB experience or anything like that. So I think that, you know, that plays a role in it as well, and that these guys are kind of malleable, and they're still figuring out what works for them consistently. And, you know, you're going to see guys turn into different kinds of pitchers. You know, Dean Kramer had a 4.12 ERA at the end of last year. He's diabolically good right now.
Yeah.
So I think that definitely has something to do with it.
Yeah, and you've got two young stars in the making in Grayson Rodriguez and Kyle Bradish, and you would have to imagine that if we look down the line in a couple of years and those two are some of the best pitchers in the American League, you'd have to look back and think that having, you know, a year, at least a year of Corbin Burns made a pretty large impact on those two guys. But you mentioned Dean Kramer, so let's talk about Dean Kramer. Last season, as you said, 32 starts for the Orioles with a 4.12 ERA. That's solid. 32 starts you are posting every fifth day. It is, I mean, look across baseball, it is hard to find guys that are consistently posting year in and year out. It's a tough position to play to stay healthy. We have seen it thus far this season in the Orioles rotation with injuries to Tyler Wells, Grayson Rodriguez, John Means, Kyle Bradish. Dean Kramer has been able to help keep this rotation afloat. Last year, he did the same thing, starting 32 games. And this year, he's done it again. He's been able to stay healthy throughout the first, you know, early part of the season here. His peripheral numbers aren't awesome. If you look at Dean Kramer's StatCast page, you would probably imagine that he is going to come back down to earth a little bit because he's still finding a lot of barrels. He's getting hit pretty hard, but he's playing to his defense well. It's a really young athletic defense, and Dean Kramer is playing to the strength of that team right now. And we've seen his strikeouts tick up recently. When Dean Kramer was first coming up to the majors, he had a fantastic curveball. He seemed like he was going to be a high strikeout, potentially high walk kind of pitcher, and we have seen him shift gears a little bit over the past few seasons, but over his last three starts, the strikeout numbers have ticked up. Last three games for Dean Kramer, 18 and a third innings pitched, just four earned runs, 20 strikeouts. That's good for a 196 ERA. Opponents are hitting 133 with a 212 on-base percentage, slugging 283 with a 495 OPS.
I'm going to be honest, I don't think you and I ever thought we'd be sitting here talking about those numbers for Dean Kramer.
No, because Dean Kramer last year, again, you kind of knew what you had. A 4.12 ERA is very solid, and he had some gems of starts last year.
He was an incredibly solid fifth guy. Incredibly solid. And now he's
around
pitching
baseball, he's a solid number three, number four. Something.
Yeah. For the Orioles, yeah. He was solid five last year.
Yeah.
Now he's just pitching so much better than that. And you mentioned his last three starts. He's looked like a brand new guy. And, you know, obviously consistency is key, and we'll see how the rest of the year goes. But if he can continue this or even half of this, the quality of the rotation as a whole will skyrocket.
Yeah.
I just think that it is crucial to have your – obviously you're going to have Corbin Burns. He's going to go out there and be fantastic. Bradish was great last year. He'll probably do similar things this season. Grayson's been fantastic, but it's really about the guys at the back end of the rotation that make the rotation one of the best in baseball, right? There are plenty of teams that have a really strong number one, two, or three. Not a lot of teams have five guys who can beat you every single time.
Yeah, I'm interested to see with Dean Kramer, as I mentioned, the peripheral numbers aren't good. His expected ERA, according to StatCast, is a 5. His barrel percentage is 7th percentile in baseball. He's not striking out a ton of guys, but, you know, he's keeping the walk numbers down. He's not getting a ton of guys to swing and miss, and his hard hit percentage is kind of middle of the pack. So I'm interested to see if he's able to maintain an ERA right around 350, but you're right, we're going to talk about how the Orioles stack up against some of the better rotations in all of baseball, and somebody like Dean Kramer at the back end of your rotation makes a real difference there. To have somebody who you're looking at in the 350 to 4 ERA range feels realistic given what we've seen from Dean Kramer lately. If we're able to get that,
that'd be tremendous.
That's one of the best number four, number five starters in the game.
Absolutely.
And that really elevates your ceiling. Let's talk about another guy who's kind of in that mold as a potential, you know, number five starter type, and that's Cole Irvin. 6 starts on the year after question marks about his role coming into the season. And not just that, but a lot of question marks. It was, you know, when Kyle Bradish and John Means come back, Cole Irvin's probably going to be the one that gets bumped into the bullpen. Unfortunately, Grayson Rodriguez gets hurt and Cole Irvin keeps starting. But Cole Irvin keeps starting. I mean, he hasn't allowed an earned run in his last 3 starts. He's been ridiculously good. His last 4 starts, after 2 rocky ones to begin the season, he's gone 24.2 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 15 strikeouts, 2 walks.
20 scoreless innings.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
I don't think we thought that was going to happen. I mean, the man has a 2.86 ERA. This also, by the way, is the only, this is what he had to do to make it a tough decision about who goes to the pen when everybody's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that we thought he was going to do this. I mean, he said in spring training, we spoke to him, he talked about his sinker, he talked about a lot of his pitches getting better and that he had lost weight, whatever, came out in that first spring training start through 95, then kind of settled down, and I think the expectations simmered down as well, and then he came out and just, he's dicing batters up.
Yeah.
And his curveball is nuts. It's fantastic. His breaking run value is 91st percentile. He's fantastic. One of the best pitchers in the league with that curveball.
Yeah, his curveball run value right now is already a 2, which is the best curveball run value that he has had in his career.
Yeah.
Already. Through ridiculous. 6 starts to begin the season. And, you know, Irvin is an interesting case because, kind of like Dean Kramer, the peripheral numbers aren't awesome. The expected ERA is up to 371. The true ERA is at a 286. The expected batting average is in the 36th percentile. He's not throwing the ball especially hard. He's not getting a lot of swings and misses. His whiff rate is in the 2nd percentile. Chase rate in the 21st percentile. Strikeout rate in the 14th percentile. But Cole Irvin has been able to settle into the kind of pitcher that he is, which is inducing soft contact and putting the ball in the strike zone and attacking hitters, maybe not for strikeouts, but you can attack hitters for weak contact. He's in the 85th percentile in baseball right now in walk percentage. He's in the 83rd percentile right now in ground ball percentage. And yeah, you know, the barrel rate isn't awesome. The hard hit rate isn't awesome, but he is pitching to his strength right now. And as you mentioned, the curveball has been excellent. He's throwing it 30% of the time. So he has turned into kind of the true definition of a crafty lefty who's just going to get you to put the ball on the ground. He's not going to hit you with overwhelming fastball velocity. And he's throwing his curveball more often than he's throwing any of his fastballs or his sinker cutter. And it's the best curveball of his career. So he has really been able to settle in to what works for Cole Irvin and not trying to throw an overwhelming sinker cutter combo, just getting the ball on the ground, trusting his defense and getting out of games and not allowing a run for 20 consecutive innings.
That's just, it's nuts to think about. I mean, if you told me that before the season, I'd be pretty shook. And you know, this is one of the things that's keeping the Orioles as one of the best teams in baseball. You know, it's all fun and games when you have one of the greatest offenses in the sport, and the Orioles do, and that is so much fun to watch. But to be a good team, you also have to be able to pitch and play defense, and they can.
Yeah, and Dean Kramer and Cole Irvin especially really changed the calculus for this rotation because right now, you know, we're not talking about as much Grayson Rodriguez, who is on the injured list right now but said he's been feeling good, doesn't think he has to make a minor league rehab assignment, should just be able to come off the injured list with a shoulder injury and be ready to go. Kyle Bradish and John Means, as we mentioned, have only made one start thus far in the 2024 season, but that top four we have discussed a lot with a healthy Corbin Burnes, Grayson Rodriguez, Kyle Bradish, and John Means. But now we're talking about two pitchers in Dean Kramer and Cole Irvin who are not only not going to relinquish their starting pitching roles all that easily, but have looked far better than just a serviceable number four, number five guy. I mean, those are the kinds of numbers that you would be looking at as a number three starter across baseball for Dean Kramer and Cole Irvin. And right now, you know, I think at least talent-wise and potential-wise, you'd probably be looking at the top four of Burnes, Grayson, Bradish, Means as the four guys to say, if somebody's going to have an ERA below 3, it's probably one of those four. Or if somebody's going to have an ERA around 350, it's probably one of those four. But Dean Kramer and Cole Irvin are putting up those numbers right now, and it is making the Orioles rotation one of the deepest in baseball when it's healthy.
They're firing on all cylinders right now, and that's a huge reason for the record that they're putting up and a huge reason for why they're, you know, still beating down the Yankees, who are, you know, loaded with superstars, is because everything's working for the Orioles right now, from the lineup to the rotation to the bullpen. Everybody's been playing incredibly well. And, you know, I go back to Burnes. And, you know, obviously these guys have made as many tweaks to their game and improvements as they can, but I really think bringing in a guy who's a certified ace and a Cy Young winner to a team that is trying to win right now raises everybody's expectations.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you knew what you were going to have in this lineup, and you have seen guys exceed expectations, players like Ryan O'Hearn, Jorge Mateo, but, you know, the ERA for these starters is really something that you can look at and say, okay, you have now really raised the floor of this team.
Yes.
Because it was always going to be a great athletic lineup, but getting outstanding contributions from Cole Irvin and Dean Kramer is now raising the floor, because there aren't 2 days out of five that you're looking at and go, that's how you feel for a lot of teams across baseball, and the Orioles just flat out do not have that.
You don't have to hope, you know?
No. Yeah. Every day you are looking at the starting pitcher and going, this could be a really good start.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just, you know, as we've said, it's not, that's not common.
No.
You know, that's not even common for very good teams. Even the very good teams have question marks in their rotations a lot of the time. And it's not just, wow, you know, we know we're going to get a pretty quality start out of whoever's on the mound.
Yeah, absolutely. And because we're greedy, let's compare the Orioles starting rotation to other rotations across baseball, because it wouldn't be a baseball show talking Orioles if we didn't over-exaggerate and have to compare them to other teams across baseball and not just be content with the great starting rotation that we have. But we're going to do it anyway. So the teams in baseball with a better starting pitching ERA than the Orioles right now are the Red Sox, Phillies, Cubs, and Royals. The other teams right around their range in terms of ERA, the Dodgers, Rangers, Tigers, Yankees, Pirates, and Mariners. Those are the other teams around baseball that I'm looking at and saying, okay, your rotation holds a candle to what the Orioles have right now. If we're talking about a fully healthy Orioles rotation, it's, you know, it's hard to rule out Kramer or Irvin, so I just kind of melded them together. But it's Corbin Burns, Kyle Bradish, Grayson Rodriguez, John Means, Dean Kramer, and Cole Irvin as your 5/6 there. Looking at the top of the league, the Red Sox have to fall off eventually.
What are they
doing
over there, man? How are they doing this?
I don't know. You look at their depth chart on FanGraphs, if you are looking at their starting pitchers, and they've got three guys listed. And yet the Red Sox, their starting pitchers have posted a 2.13 ERA to start the season.
Is Cutter Crawford going to win the Cy Young?
Maybe.
Like, what's happening over there? I don't understand this.
I have no idea what is happening. Because if you asked any Red Sox fan going into the season, they would tell you that bringing in Lucas Giolito was not enough to help this starting rotation. And Lucas Giolito hasn't even pitched.
The man is hurt.
He is.
Yeah.
So right now you're looking at a rotation led by Cutter Crawford, Tanner Houck, you know, I mean, Cooper Criswell. What are we doing?
Listen, Brian Bello is supposed to be the only guy who is actually pretty good.
And he's hurt.
And he's hurt. And he's not even, like, everybody else has an ERA sub-2 in their rotation.
I mean, Garrett Whitlock is hurt. He's got a 196.
Criswell and Cutter Crawford have a 174 and 175, respectively.
I don't understand what's happening. Nick Pivetta, also hurt. He's only made two starts. He's got an ERA under one. I don't know.
This doesn't make sense to me. The only thing I can possibly think is that, I mean, they did change personnel in the offseason. Andrew Bailey and Craig Breslow are both new, both pitchers. Andrew Bailey, 2009 AL, or Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
With the A's. But I don't know what's going on.
It's
inexplainable.
I think it's witchcraft.
Yeah.
Because talent-wise, on paper, of course I'm taking Corbin Burns, Kyle Bradish, Grayson Rodriguez, and John Means over Cutter Crawford and Tanner Houck. But right now, they have the best ERA in baseball. So, I don't know. It's the Orioles against witchcraft, I think, at that point, if you're comparing the two.
And their bullpen's lights out, too. Like, Greg Weiser, Justin Slayton, and Kenley Jansen all have sub-2 ERAs.
I don't know, man. It's a mystery.
Excuse me, I have to pull the laptop to my face. Bernardino. Never heard of that guy. Got to be honest with you. Never heard of that guy.
Well, they're good.
They're fantastic.
On paper, I'm probably taking the Orioles, but
got a 0.61.
But the Red Sox are really good. Another team with an ERA better than the Orioles right now is the Philadelphia Phillies. They've got Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola. Ranger Suarez has looked like one of the best pitchers in baseball. The Phillies rotation is very good.
Yeah,
the Phillies not just on paper, but in practice as
yes,
well.
Yes, they, you know, the Phillies are that team that just won't go away right now. For the last couple of years, they just won't go away. World Series appearance against the Astros that they lost. Last year they made a run of the World Series, didn't quite get there, and this year they're back competing. And it's largely due to their pitching staff. And they have two pretty big stars at the front of it, Wheeler and Nola. Just signed Nola to that, what was it, a 7-year extension, 8-year extension?
Yeah.
Something like that.
It was
that.
A big one.
And, you know, it's kind of paying off right now. So it's working out for the Phillies. Their pitching is incredibly good as well. And that's probably why they're 26-11.
Yeah.
So the Orioles are playing that game.
Yeah, Cubs, same thing. You can talk about the two elite guys at the top, Justin Steele and Shota Imanaga.
How fun is that guy, by the way?
Imanaga's must-watch baseball.
How fun is he to watch?
So fun. Jameson Taillon there as well. Hayden Wesneski, 4 outings, and has a .54 ERA.
That's absurd.
He has been outstanding as well.
Also, they figured out Jameson Taillon.
Yeah.
Like, it's 4 starts. I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but they... He was really bad last year. Like, he had a really, really hard year at a .484. Actually, he pulled it down. I thought it was worse than that. He pulled it back, and they figured him out.
Yeah, he's been great. Mariners, great young rotation. George Kirby, Luis Castillo, Logan Gilbert, Bryce Miller, Emerson Hancock. When you're talking about depth in a starting rotation, I think the Mariners give the Orioles the best run for their money.
That was the only one I could have told you was going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
The other ones... I couldn't have
because
said.
In the offseason, it was, hey, the Mariners need a hitter, and they have like 17 elite young starting pitchers, you know, go trade for one kind of thing. And the Mariners have stood pat for the most part.
No.
We like our elite young starting pitchers, and it paid off for them. Other teams around baseball with a worse ERA than the Orioles right now in their starting rotation. The Royals have Cole Reagans and some other solid guys as well, with Lugo and Singer and Waka. The Dodgers have the really high-end talent with Tyler Glasnow, Yamamoto, Walker Buehler just came back. The Tigers have Tarek Skubal, who's an AL Cy Young candidate, and other solid options
there. Also, my guy
as well.
Reese Olson, dude.
Yeah.
That guy's a dog.
Yeah. And then the Pirates, you know, Jared Jones, Mitch Keller, it's a great 1-2 punch at the top of the rotation. A lot of good starting rotations around baseball. But by my count, going through the teams that we have just listed, I think a healthy Orioles rotation is at least top 3 in the American League.
I think so. Oh, yeah, I definitely think so.
Because right now, again, you know, you could have put the Yankees in that conversation with a healthy Gerrit Cole. That is not the case right now. You know, if the Rangers were healthier, maybe you put them in that conversation. That is not the case right now. Maybe the healthy Diamondbacks with Jordan Montgomery getting back to form and Zach Gallen, maybe they're in the conversation in all of baseball. But in the American League, I think it's pretty easily top 3. I think second best, with an argument to be made, a very solid argument to be made, that it is the best rotation in the American League. Right now, the Red Sox are doing witchcraft, and it is hard to say that they don't have the best starting rotation in baseball. In paper, they do not. On paper, they just flat out don't, but they're still doing it.
So it's hard to keep
them out of the top 3.
There's nothing to say that it's going to last for them. You know, like,
sure,
the Orioles at least have some proof that the guys that are succeeding have succeeded prior. You know, you have a former Cy Young Award winner on this team, and that's just not something that the Red Sox can say. So in terms of the expectation of consistency, I'd point to the Orioles.
Yeah, I would probably point to the Orioles as well, because the Red Sox at the top of the rotation have, you know, Cutter Crawford and Garrett Whitlock and guys like that who are solid pitchers. They have shown their stuff, but they are not thought, you know, they don't have a track record, as you mentioned. And even the elite ERAs, like Cutter Crawford's got a 1.75. His expected ERA is a 2.98. So you expect those guys to come back to earth a little bit. I think when you're looking and talking about the best rotations in the American League, for me, I put it between the Orioles and Mariners, because I think they have similar quality depth. The Mariners have a bunch of young guys. Like, Emerson Hancock doesn't really have the track record of somebody like even Dean Kramer, but that's a former top 10 pick in the MLB draft. Like, he's gonna, you know, he has the upside. And I think when you're talking depth and overall quality of the rotation with high-end talent like George Kirby and Luis Castillo, and even Logan Gilbert, I think you can put in that conversation as well. I put the Orioles at worst second behind the Mariners, and at best, an argument to be made that they have a better rotation than the Mariners.
Here's a team that surprised me, I just want to throw out there.
Sure.
Is the Yankees. I didn't
without a healthy Gerrit Cole.
I did not expect them to be nearly this good. Rodon has bounced back better than I think most fans believe. believed could happen. Luis Gil has been a godsend for them with a sub-3 ERA. Cortez has been good. Stroman's been good. Nobody has a 4-plus ERA in that starting rotation. And like you said, Gerrit Cole still has to come back. Now, do I think it'll last? I'm not necessarily sure. But they have definitely surprised me early on the year.
Oh, absolutely. And I think with a healthy Gerrit Cole, I put them very firmly in that conversation for top three in the American League. Let's talk in baseball, because that's the big grabby, you know, is this one of the best rotations in the game? I genuinely believe that it is a top five rotation in baseball.
I think so, 100%.
Because, you know, right now, talked about the Red Sox. They are great. They're somewhere in that conversation, you know, somewhere in the top five range, even though on paper you're expecting them to fall off a little bit. The Phillies, I think you have to put in the top five. Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola are established aces in the
Ranger
league.
Suarez has been
and Ranger Suarez
filthy.
It looks like the leading candidate for NL Cy Young for the first, you know, quarter of the season. I think the Mariners are in that conversation as well, just because, you know, as we mentioned, it is a depth that is really hard to find around the game. Maybe the healthy Dodgers, maybe the Cubs.
The Dodgers are so weird.
Yeah.
They're just so weird. They have, you know, they're so top heavy. Glasnow and Yamamoto are filthy. Paxton's been really good for them because, of course, he is.
Yeah.
But, you know, outside of that, like, Bobby Miller's hurt. He's got three starts. Hasn't been great. Who's Landon Knack? I don't know. I just don't believe that they're going to end up five really strong guys. I mean, if Walker Buehler comes back and is Walker Buehler, sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't think – I'll believe when I see it for Walker Buehler.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers are supposed to be the big, scary team, and three of them have been, but they've just been that prototypical three really good starters. We're preying on the other two.
Yeah, Walker Buehler could be an X factor. You don't know what he looks like coming back from his second Tommy John, so we'll see for Walker Buehler there, but like, if I'm laying my take right now, I would say the Orioles have the second-best rotation in baseball and the best rotation in the American League.
So you're saying the Phillies are the only team better?
I think the Phillies have the only better rotation in baseball right now.
I like that take. I'm probably on board with that. Yeah, the Phillies have... Well, the thing about the Phillies is they've gotten, you know, tremendous production out of a guy like Spencer Turnbull, too.
Right.
You know, he's got a sub, too. So, yeah, they're five really, really strong. And I'm really curious to see where this conversation is in a month. And to see what changes. But right now, I agree with you. I'd say that the Orioles have the best in the AL and the second best in baseball.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
I think that's where I kind of land. And I think even a healthy Orioles rotation, you could make an argument for the best in baseball.
Yes.
Because you have Corbin Burns, who is an AL Cy Young candidate. Kyle Bradish was an AL Cy Young candidate last year, finished top five in voting. Grayson Rodriguez has the potential to be a perennial AL Cy Young candidate. John Means has to be one of the best, if not the best, fourth starter in all of baseball. And then some combination of Dean Kramer and Cole Irvin, based on what they have done for you so far, is an elite fifth option.
It's not often in baseball that you get a rotation that has two guys competing for the Cy Young. You know, we've seen it before, 2019 Astros, Verlander and Cole, and I'm not saying that this rotation has a 2019 Verlander and Cole, but I am saying that at their best, this rotation has three guys that could compete for the Cy Young. At their very best, Bradish, Grayson, and Burns could all compete for that award.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I put them in the conversation with a team like the Phillies, where Wheeler, Nola, Suarez could all be competing for the NL Cy Young.
Agreed.
The Mariners are close to that conversation, I think, with Kirby, Gastillo, and Gilbert. Maybe the Cubs are there. Like, those are the teams where it is you have elite top options and the depth is better than you can find around baseball.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah. So there you have it. There's our take on the Orioles rotation. Thank you so much for following along with us this week on the Bird's Nest. If you are here, because we had some technical difficulties on our Facebook and YouTube, we hope to be back up and running next week. We're live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on YouTube and Facebook, or you can catch us after the fact on Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts or your digital shows. You can find us here talking some Orioles baseball on the Bird's Nest. Big thank you to Amy Jennings behind the scenes for producing this one. For Matt Bonaparte, I'm Brendan Mortensen, and we'll catch you next time.